Let's enjoy this ongoing message by Sam Adeyemi.
John 13, 34 and 35. Let's go. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. We'll title this Lead and Love. Lead and Love. We've emphasized through this series that love begins with the recognition of value in others. Love begins with the recognition of value in others. And that we demonstrate that recognition through giving and forgiving. You recognize value. Everybody has value. There's a bit of God inside every human being, but not everybody can see it. When we recognize it, then we respond to it. We demonstrate that recognition by giving and by forgiving, which is the writing off of debt. Unfortunately, in our world, there are many things that becloud our capacity to recognize value. I see the scenario, for example, in the life of Joseph in the Bible. His brothers could not recognize his value. His brothers could not recognize his value to the extent that one day they were discussing about killing him. One of the things that puzzles me the most in this life is the taking of another life, the taking of one's life or another life. Because, one, for someone to take his or her own life simply means he or she has come to the point where the person recognizes zero value, no value anymore for that life. For someone to take somebody else's life means that the person recognizes zero value in the person's life. So my puzzle is, what's going on in somebody's mind that will move the person to take another person's life? What's going on there? Joseph's brothers were discussing about killing him. Until the eldest, Reuben, said, no, don't let's do it. He's our blood. At least he recognized some value. And woke them up a little bit. Then they decided to sell him as a slave. They saw some traders coming by who were on their way to Egypt. They put monetary value on the life of their brother and sold him for peanuts. They sold him for 20 pieces of silver. When I read the Bible, the price that I see for a slave is 30 pieces. They sold him for 20. I mean, you can imply that they gave the traders 33% discount. It's amazing. Why? He was the 11th son in the family. 12th child, 11th son. So obviously, they had the kind of a culture that some parts of the world have, where your birth order determines your value in the family. So, the further away you go from being firstborn, the more your value decreases. They spoke harshly to him, treated him harshly, because he was their younger brother. Amazing. Sold him off as a slave. So being ahead of someone in age or position tends to seduce us to not recognize their value. Being ahead of someone in age or position tends to seduce us to not recognize their value. There are cultures where women have little or no value. There are cultures where children have little or no value, just simply because of their size. Unfortunately, some Christians think that non-Christians have less value than them. It's amazing. It's that obscuring that I'm talking about. It's satanic. Because when you think about it, Christ did not die for Christians. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ recognized so much value in the ungodly that he sacrificed his life for the ungodly. So Joseph, amazingly, had a change in scenario and now had a position that was higher than that of his brothers. Amazing. If he was like them, he would have wiped them out. Even they expected Joseph to kill them. Because that's how they were. That's what they would have done with power. They almost killed him. Sold him as a slave and went back to tell their father that he was dead. Dipped his coat in animal blood and told their father some wild animal must have killed him. And told that lie continuously till the day they met Joseph, did not realize it was Joseph, and told him the lie that he was dead. But Joseph was not like them. As wicked as they had been to him, he still recognized value in them. Preserved their lives. Gave them food for free. God bless Joseph. So no wonder God lifted him. So my encouragement today is this. We must not be short-sighted. Bad order or organizational superiority or seniority order does not equate to destiny order. And whatever the dynamics may have been in your family, whatever the dynamics may have been in your office, love is a better strategy than hatred. Love is a better strategy than envy. When you grow up in a culture that is oppressive, you don't know how that culture seeps into your subconscious and influences your choices, your decisions. I envy young people these days when I see that, especially in high school, there isn't that structure of seniority anymore like we used to have. When we were in high school, being in Form 1 was a sentence to suffering. We called it Form 1. When I was in Form 1, anyone from Form 2 upwards to 5 could send you on errands. Any kind of errand. Fetch water, sweep my floor, lay my bed, wash my clothes, anything. Just about anything. You can imagine the whole school, from Form 2 upwards to Form 5. So you were almost never free to do anything on your own. And I stayed in the hostel, and there were 7 hostels built around the football field. It was a large compound. So I had to get to the dining hall from my hostel, I had to walk across that field. Walking across that field, you had to be praying. Anybody could call you from any of the hostels. Hey! That boy! Come here! And you dared not disobey. Go on, fetch water for me. Do this, do that. So it got to the point where I used to be afraid just to walk across that field. So I would look left, look right, and just run. Just run. But God was kind to me, you know. God was kind to me that when I was in Form 1, my dad's youngest brother, my uncle, was in Form 4 in the same school. See? And towards the end of that session, he became the deputy head boy. God has a way of helping his own. Woo! I became rebellious. So, a Form 2 student, go and fetch water for me. The amazing thing, some of them were tiny. They were kids, like me. Ah! So I began to refuse. Fetch water. Wash my clothes, I cannot wash it. Okay. You want to punish me? I'll just run. I'll just run and run into my uncle's room. That was it. I enjoyed some of the conversations he had with the oppressors. He said, what's the problem? Said, I told this boy to do this. So, which class are you in? He said, Form 2. He said, what's the difference between Form 2 and Form 1? Get lost, my friend. Wait. Woo, I'll be feeling cool. Form 2, he was in Form 5. Most of the time, it was. In fact, you know what I did? My hostel was actually next to his. I moved from my hostel to his, and nobody could stop me. So I enjoyed all sorts of things, you know. But at the end of Form 5, he left. So when I came in for Form 3, you know, I was just walking through the hostel. I just had, come here! Froze. When I showed, the person said, is that not Jonah's boy? He punished me just for being Jonah's boy. Now that my protector had gone, life was harsh, man. When my parents came to visit me, I said they should take me home. I didn't want to stay in the hostel. My dad refused. Told me I had to stay there and face it. So, when they've done that to you, you also are waiting. So once you move on to Form 2, good. Your own anointing for oppression will kick in. And it will increase gradually till you get to the final class. You see what I'm talking about? That? So it's a culture. It's a system. And it seeps in. And then you just always grow up like that, believing that once your position is higher than that of somebody else, your value is higher than theirs. And you treat them harshly, treat them anyhow, without realizing that nobody knows tomorrow. Joseph's brothers treated him harshly. They didn't know. Even when he told them, I got a revelation, I got a dream, this is what the future looks like. They could not take it. What kind of nonsense? How could you even dream a dream like that? So they hated him even more for it. And that's how we squander our opportunities for investing in destinies. Opportunities for investing in destinies. Christ could say confidently to his disciples, the way I have loved you, love one another like that. Amazing. A leader could look at the people he was leading. I mean, people that he picked from here and there. A whole Jesus Christ. Let me use our language in Nigeria. A whole, not half, whole. And disciples, sinners. And he looked at them and said, you guys know I have loved you. There aren't many leaders that can say that. They can say that. Many people can't see beyond their position. I'm the head of department. So, you are my subordinate. This relationship has nothing to do with love. Do the job. Amazing. Squandering of opportunities for investing in people's lives. Lacking capacity. You gradually lose the capacity to recognize the value in people. Jesus could say to his disciples that he loved them. And just in case you think that he had a perfect team, look again. Look especially at the 12 disciples. There was Peter that betrayed him 3 times, denied him thrice, and betrayed him at his trial. There was Thomas, who was always doubting everything, including when Jesus rose up, showed up. All the disciples said, "We saw him." He said, "Never, till I see him and touch him." And you had the one that was stealing. Stealing. The day Mary put expensive perfume on Jesus, he was grumbling. That this thing could have been sold for 300 denarii. And the money given to the poor. John the Apostle recorded this, he said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he was stealing what was in the bag. Amazing. On the team of Jesus, the Messiah, there was a thief. You see, the hiring is not easy. Ask HR people. And he was so overtaken by greed till he betrayed and sold Christ for 30 pieces of silver. And when Jesus made that statement in John 13, "You people know that I have loved you." Judas was one of them. Earlier in John 13, same chapter, Jesus had washed the feet of his disciples. He washed Judas' dirty feet. "I have loved you." His loving them was not dependent on their behavior. It was dependent on his own nature. We have God's nature. Our loving does not depend on people's behavior. Our loving depends on our nature. God loves people regardless. We've got to love people. But amazingly, Jesus said about his team, or he said to his team, John 14 verse 12, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these shall he do also." Amazing. Achieving personal success is one thing. Helping others to succeed, that's a higher level. And that's the one we call leadership. And Jesus was telling them they were going to be greater than him. So I encourage today, husbands, love your wives. Or husband, love your wife, your own. I agree she's not perfect. I agree she nags you. That should not erode our capacity to recognize value in her. Love her. See value. See that value. The value that you saw before you got married. Yeah, I know. Some people say, "Pastor, you don't know. We've been married now for 7 years. It is very clear to me." Some people have even confirmed it by prophecy that she's a witch. That's fine. So remember, when you married, you did not marry a witch. You married an angel. After some years now, she has become a witch. That's the testimony. Testimony to your capacity for turning an angel into a witch. I'm trying to make a point. The original value is still there. It's the circumstances, the quarrels, the malice, the grudges eventually and gradually obscure our perception and turn an angel into a witch. See? And what we don't realize is It's our action that provokes a reaction from the other person. Jesus said, whatever you want people to do to you, you do the same to them. That's why he said, you bless them that curse you. You bless them that curse you. If you don't want to continue that cycle of nagging, of bickering, of speaking bitter words, that cycle of pain, if you want to break it, go in the other direction. Act based on your God nature. And it's a love nature. Beating your wife is not part of one of the ways that you express love. Anyway, I don't need to talk about that. This time men don't beat their wives. And I know that. Am I right? This time men don't beat their wives. This time men don't beat their wives. Or guy, if you do, just look straight. But we receive grace for you to stop it. Ladies, don't put me in trouble. Just say the amen inside. Teachers, love your students. Parents, love your children. Landlord, love your tenants. See, without love, the failure of leadership is predictable. Without love, the failure of leadership is predictable. So I saw this passage in Hebrews 10 that shows that we can actually innovate in our love work. We've talked about giving, we've talked about forgiving. We can innovate in our love work. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25 in the Message Bible. Hebrews 10, 24, 25. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out. Not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. I love that. We can be inventive in encouraging love and helping out. And finally, I'd like to say this. Yes, we give. Yes, we forgive. If you want to pray for someone, which will actually help you to recognize value in the person, pray for the person. Husband, pray for your wife. She may be acting crazy. Pray for her. You don't know what the enemy is out to do. You don't know what attacks is suffering in our minds. Whatever it is, pray. Parent, pray for your child. Pray for your child. They fight their own battles. They go through their own pressure. They've got to be kids. When they are teenagers, they will have to go through their own season. They're maturing. Their bodies are changing. Their hormones are changing in their bodies. They are beginning to feel. They're adults. They too know what they are talking about. They're beginning to shape their values. Pray. Pray for them. Landlord, pray for your tenant. Pray for tenants to prosper, for business to work, and for them to be healthy so they can pay your rent. In fact, pray that every tenant that comes through your house will go to their own house that they built. Amen. Wish everybody well. Government officials, pray for the citizens. Pray for the citizens that you lead. Then God will give you creative ideas to add value to their lives. Head of department in the office, pray for your subordinate. People are more important than tasks. You don't know what the person is going through. Pray. Jesus prayed for his disciples. Luke 22:31-32. Luke 22:31-32. New Living Translation. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. Wow. So when Jesus said, I have loved you, this is it, that he actually was praying. He sensed that something, temptation, was coming for Peter. And he told him, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. He said, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that anyone here that has been hurt by an authority figure, today we receive healing. Last night, when I shared this message, a lady walked up to me after the service and said, you know what? That thing you described about your high school experience, she said, it happened to me. And there was a lady, she was so mean to me, I have never forgiven her since, I had never forgiven her since we left high school till tonight. That's how bad it can be. That people don't know. When we hurt people, we don't realize what it does to them. Does to their mind, does to their emotions, and how it has the capacity to hurt them straight into the future. She said, I just have never been able to forgive that lady. Both of them are married now, they've moved on, and so on. She said, even then, I could not forgive her. She said, but tonight, I forgave her. I said, God bless you for that. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, anyone that has been hurt or is being hurt by an authority figure anywhere, I declare by the power of the Holy Spirit that there is healing. Amen. And we prophesy a change in that situation. Amen. We receive capacity to love people. We receive capacity to pray for people. Amen. And in the mighty name of Jesus, since we do it like Joseph did, I prophesy for each one promotion. Destiny will happen without stress. Whatever has been delayed will be released now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I pray for the person in this service who says, Pastor, please pray with me. I want capacity to love people, but my own relationship with God is not even okay in the first place. You see, what we're dealing with is sin, and sin is a nature. Sin is mankind's greatest problem, and God sent Jesus to die on the cross. Jesus died a shameful death because the wages of sin is death. He paid the price. And God wants us to just ask for forgiveness. That's the prayer I want us to pray together right now. If you're that honest person that says, Pastor, I'm a sinner. My relationship with God is not okay. I want God to forgive me my sins. Can you please put your hand on your heart and let's say this short prayer together. Prayer you will never, ever regret. Apart from forgiving your sins, God will remove the nature of sin and put His own nature there. God bless you for your honesty. Can you say this prayer after me? Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for everyone. And we thank you because the power of your Spirit rests on them now. Their sins are forgiven. The nature of sin is removed from them. Your own nature is in them now. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, teach them to recognize your voice. Teach them to know you intimately. And teach them to love you and to love other people the rest of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.